You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you this week to look ahead to the KLM Open, which is the single event this week, the European Tour's only event on the schedule, with the USPGA Tour taking a slight hiatus in the middle of the FedEx Cup Series. First of all, it's a warm welcome to Mr. Tindall. How are you, Dave?
Very warm after that welcome, thank you. Yes, looking forward to this one. Strange, isn't it, with no PGA Tour? It never seems to stop apart from Christmas, but it does this week. I think everyone's quite glad, aren't they, for a week off?
Yeah, I think when you've got four huge events as well.
On the back of all the busy
it's
summer.
It's good not to have them consecutively. Then, obviously, you've got the President's Cup when the FedEx Series comes to its conclusion. So it's quite nice, actually.
Yeah.
Refreshing to have a week off.
I saw them interview Hunter Mahan and say, because he had a good finish, and they were saying, I bet you wish you didn't have a week off with this momentum. He said, nah, I'm glad I've got a week off. So I think they're all thinking the same, aren't they?
Let's reflect on last week. Ricky Fowler winning the Deutsche Bank Championship. I was angry, annoyed.
You were furious.
Furious.
Yes. Because?
It was a player I didn't want to win last week, and I thought 40-1 was overpriced, and I should always go with the overpriced player. I was slightly put off by his course form and him not having played particularly well the week prior to, Nelly said last week, last night's conclusion to the tournament. But I just thought 40-1 for a player, something we mentioned on the podcast last week, golf is very fickle, isn't it? Golf betting is very fickle, and a lot of people talking about Jason Day because of his emergence. But as mentioned on the podcast, after Ricky Fowler won the Players' Championship, people were saying he's going to be competing with Spieth and McIlroy, and things changed quickly.
Yeah, I was guilty of thinking Day was kind of the second coming. And you look at it now in the cold light of day. Day 13-2, Fowler 40-1. They shouldn't be that discrepancy, should they?
No.
And I paid for it. I certainly did, by ignoring the value play.
Stenson, Henrik Stenson, had that tournament in the palm of his hand, standing on the 16th tee. Miscalculation with his tee shot there.
Or a big gust of wind, depending on how you view it.
Yeah, I don't know how much I buy the huge gust of wind angle. He said that he hit a 7-iron, ballooned it into the air, and it came up short. But Ricky Fowler hit a 6-iron, and you saw throughout the evening that players were only just clearing the water on that hole. So maybe everyone was slightly miscalculating the strength of the wind into the face there. But he was one shot clear at that moment. You've just got to take the hazard out of play, haven't you?
Yeah, he could have given himself the margin of error, couldn't he, where if he was a bit long, that's, you know, obviously less of a crime, isn't it, than short and in the water. So yeah, he'll wonder what's happening, Stenson, won't he? A couple of years ago, he couldn't do anything but win, and now he just can't seem to open the door again, can he? He gets into these good positions, and he's just coming up short time and time again.
It's tough to win, isn't it? It's just tough to win on tour.
Yeah, definitely.
I blame the caddy. I always blame the caddy.
Gareth Lord, is it? His caddy, I think.
He's his long-time caddy, isn't he? And one of his closest friends as well. So Stenson made no reference to it in those post-round press conferences at all. He blamed himself for miscalculating it and maybe slightly ballooning the ball as well. So,
which is good. You don't want to
throw your
caddy under a bus. You look an idiot, and it's hardly going to foster great relations, is it, in the future?
No, I think he did the right thing publicly. I wonder what happened privately. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he seems like a stand-up chap, doesn't he, Henrik Stenson? So I'm sure he didn't blame his caddy, but that one shot cost him the championship, didn't it, really?
Yeah, basically. That swung there, didn't that? It was a big momentum swinger.
Should we move on to this week?
Yes. Let's do that.
We've got the KLM Open, which is our one European Tour event this week. And Martin Kaymer is in the field here. He's 10-1 favourite with William Hill. Joost Luiten is 16-1. Jamie Donaldson, 25s. Matthew Fitzpatrick and Tyrell Hatton, both 28s. Andy Sullivan, Eddie Pepperell, Christopher Broberg, Richie Ramsey, Søren Kjeldsen and Tommy Fleetwood, all 33s. And it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. Finally, we've got a European Tour event that I'm interested in. It's taken half the year, but it's here. I like this event.
It's been a bit quiet, hasn't it, of late, to be kind, in Denmark, Czechoslovakia and Russia. It's more like sort of ice hockey events. But, yeah, we've got some big names back here, haven't we, which is good. And, yeah, like you say, I always enjoy this event. I've personally enjoyed it from a betting point of view. I've had a bit of success in it.
Oh, that's good.
Sometimes there are some tournaments I just get wrong every time, but sometimes you have one where you can see the picture a little bit clearer.
It's been given a boost with Martin Kaymer taking his place in the field, obviously, having failed to play the required number of events to keep his card on the PGA Tour.
That's just weird. Weird, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
What does he have to do? Win the US Open, win the Players, and he's not exempt. It's silly.
Yeah, it is silly. You've got to play 15.
He can get it back next year. I think he's...
I've not read it up enough to speak intelligently about this topic, but it does seem crazy that Martin Kaymer's not a member of the PGA Tour next season.
Yeah. But I think the one after, I think he does become exempt again.
Is that right?
It's odd.
Yeah.
I mean, given that the European Tour have just let Rory sort of back in, haven't they? I'm sure they could have just found clause 73C, couldn't they?
For the PGA Tour. Kaymer, yeah. I think they're more sticklers.
Yeah, I guess so.
For the actual rules, whereas I think the European Tour need Rory McIlroy, don't they? If Rory McIlroy hadn't played an event all season and said, I still want to play in this end of series... Yeah. These end of series events on the European Tour, I think they'd have welcomed him with open arms.
Common sense, isn't it?
They need him, don't they?
Shooting yourself in the foot otherwise.
In the last decade, the venue for this championship, the KLM Open, has alternated between Hilversum and Kenema, and this year Kenema's hosting.
Yeah.
A course designed by Harry Colt, a short course by modern day standards.
Very, yes.
Very short, isn't it? 6,626 yards. It's a seaside links, but there are some holes that are inland that play as tree-lined holes. So there's a nice little mix here, and it's a composite of... There's 27 holes at Kenema, and it's a composite of all three nines, isn't it, basically?
I guess some courses that we always think of, like Pebble Beach isn't just playing along the coast. It goes inland as well there with trees as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, you can get these courses.
As we've said on many a podcast this year as well, Dave, we've been inundated with... links venues this year on the European Tour as well. So I think it's worth checking out the form if you're having a bet in this championship of the Irish Open, the Scottish Open, and of course the recent Paul Laurie match play was played on a links course as well. So there's a lot for punters to get their teeth stuck into this week.
Yeah, one other thing I'd like to say, this is the craziest tournament on the European Tour schedule. No, that's what I didn't want to say. One other thing I'd like to say is that the last five winners here, they've all been very predictable.
That was like a hybrid between a Dutch accent and an American accent there. You went American slightly towards the
end. Well, that's what they learn American English. So it was more subtle than you think. So the last five winners here, 12-1, 25-1, 22-1, 20-1, 25-1.
So you're looking towards the top of the market.
Yeah. I mean, they would have been all of them in the top five or six in the betting.
And you look through those names that have won. Obviously, Kenema hasn't hosted on each of the last five occasions.
No.
Has hosted six times in the last 9 years, is it now? 9 or 10 years. And you look through those winners as well. Paul Casey, Joost Luiten, Peter Hansen, Simon Dyson and Martin Kaymer. Experience there as well,
yeah, definitely.
I think.
And I don't think the course actually makes much difference. Dyson's won it three times, two on at Kenema, one on Hilversum.
Yep.
So that's kind of... And you see a lot of the form seems to cross between both courses. So even though it's a different venue, there's something about some similarities that carry over.
Do you see any key statistics here, or are you looking at links form as well?
I think links form. I looked at some of the stats. Casey number one for Greens in Reg last time, but when Dyson won, he just scrambled his butt off. He was like first and second in scrambling, I think 91% one year.
I think scrambling is important around this course. Short games need to be pretty sharp.
Yeah, I think you need a sharp short game. But Casey gave it a good larrup off the tee, so sometimes hitting it a long way is decent too. Jimenez was more sort of steady, a short hitter. I don't think there's an awful lot in the pure stats. I'd prefer to look at a wider sort of view with like links form and current form and just someone that's fairly obvious.
I've got a pretty strong headline selection here.
Okay, yeah, I've got two picks, minus the same price, but I do slightly fancy one over the other.
Okay, do you want me to lead off or do you want to lead
you
off?
You lead off.
Okay.
I wonder if we've got the same.
I'm going Richie Ramsey. Have we got the same?
That is my number one pick as
He is my number one headline picker. He was 40 to 1, unfortunately. That was mopped up, wasn't it?
Was that me and you mopping that up?
It could be. 33 to 1 he is with William Hill this week. And I think from an each-way perspective, that offers definite value. Winner in Morocco earlier on in the season. And the KLM Open is a championship that has been pretty kind to him in the past.
Yeah.
Runner-up at Hilversum in 2012. Finished ninth here last year, where he was banging contention after 54 holes before.
He was second with a round
ago. Fading on Sunday, which is always a slight worry with, or has historically been a worry with Richie Ramsey, I think. His ability to close out tournaments. He's had a lot of chances over the years and not won as many times as he should have done on tour, but did win on it in Morocco. And these short tracks with a links feel, perfect fits for him, really. Finished 10th in the Irish Open, went on that decent run in the Paul Laurie match play as well. The short game, I think, will be key this week for Ramsey, and he would be almost a maximum bet for me if it weren't for how poorly he scrambled in his last two events. Didn't chip it well at Crohn's or at St Andrews. That's the slight reservation, but you can rely on his ball striking, can't you, Richie Ramsey? Yeah. I just see him being in contention this week.
Yes. I'm just going to go, yes, you're right. Everything you say is correct. It's going to be windy, isn't it? The forecast suggests 15 to 20 mile an hour winds and then gusts higher on top of that, obviously, which is no bad thing, is it, for Richie Ramsey? Grew up in Aberdeen.
I think he'll love that.
Yeah, so that plays into his hands. Looking at some of his round scores, he shot a pair of middle 65s last year when he was ninth, closed with a 64 in 2013. So he can squeeze low scores on this course. And there's not a lot to be said, really, beyond what you've said. Five of his six appearances in this event, he's finished 26 or better. So he's always been there or thereabouts. I just think a good case can be made from it. He's at the near the front of the betting, which is historically a good thing to be. I think he's just high five, we agree.
Yeah. I think he's just solid, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just solid, Richie Ramsey. I do like him in this field a lot, so 33 to 1. I'm going with the man who was favourite last week, this week, Maximilian Kiefer.
I was close to putting him up,
I think 40s is fair, actually.
Yeah. 20 cuts out of 20 this year.
Yeah, that is incredible, really, isn't it? And you wonder when he's going to come unstuck, don't you? He's either going to come unstuck or win, because he's done neither so far this season.
But he had a little break, didn't he? So it's not like he's just sort of, you think, oh, he's going to fall away. But he had a break and he's come back with an 11th, and it was kind of a nearest the finish 11th, wasn't
it? I like his price this week. I mean, he was 9-1 last week, and many people will look at this and think 40-1, but you've got to consider the field, and this field is a lot stronger this week. But you look at his stats from last week, where he did finish in a tie for 11th. He was inside the top 10 in driving accuracy, scrambling, and greens in regulation, but the putter was just slightly cold. And form at Kenema, missed the cut in 2013 when making his debut at the course, but finished a much improved 22nd last year and was 9th heading into that final round on Sunday. And putting a lot of stock, as we've mentioned, on links performances this season. Kiefer finished 8th in the Irish Open. Had a big chance to win there on Sunday, but closed with a 77. I think this is just the type of test that he enjoys. I think he loves it when the wind blows. Strikes me as a very good player in the wind, Kiefer. I can't resist him at the price. I don't fancy him as strongly as Ramsey, so I'll just play him a half a point each way. Maximilian Kiefer at 40-1. Hopefully yeah. he'll go close.
Yeah, he would have been, if I'd had five picks, he would have been number three or four, yeah. I think. My second pick, though, and second and final pick, is Søren Kjeldsen at 33-1. Back to the idea of links courses. He obviously won the Irish Open at Royal Koninginnedain.
That was nice.
So he won there. That was a great.
Do you do party appearances, by the way?
I can do. I just stand there, wander around. Who do you want me to do? Alan Bennett. And I would wonder where I would fit in. So I can do. No, Irish Open he won. Then the next week he came second in the Nordea Masters. Second in his home made in Denmark.
Yep.
So you kind of you take out the majors, where he did miss the cut, to be fair, in the British and the Open Championship and the PGA. And he's just got a bunch of good form. Also 15th in the Open de France. And obviously, you look at the yardage. He is a quite diminutive little fellow, isn't he? And he doesn't smash it out there, does he? This is the course where he should be doing well, isn't it? 6,600 yards. In terms of actual course form, well, he was tied 8th 2 years ago, which is nice. That's all I was looking for, really. Is there anything, you know, totally negative where he's missed five cuts there or something? No, there isn't. He was 8th there in 2013.
I wish I hadn't looked at the course form last week, because you can sometimes get bogged down where I always think if you think a course is going to suit but it hasn't done in the past, you're likely to be getting an inflated price because compilers do look closely at the course form. I sometimes fall into the trap of thinking, oh, if they're not getting course form, they don't like the place, but it can just something can just click that at any given week if you think a course is tailor-made for certain player's skill set, for instance.
Well, plus I think with Fowler, sometimes it's best to think, well, there's no reason why he shouldn't like that course.
Precisely.
If there's something obvious that goes against him, but it did, you know, it seemed a matter of time. I think I might have even said that he struggled on a couple of tee shots. That doesn't mean he's taking like eights and nines,
no,
does he?
No, of course.
It just means he might miss the fairway and still make a par. Mm. I've probably read too much into that. But yeah, I do think logic says Kjeldsen should like this course, doesn't it? And he's got some form there, 8th. He's got 14th back in 2006. Obviously, that second in the made in Denmark, I think that was pretty big for him. There's that green, isn't there, that where they're surrounded. That amphitheatre. And he said it quite emotional about it. Said, you know, it was a very, very big thing. And that was his last start. And I just think that would have fueled him with an extra little kick. Now he'll arrive in the Netherlands. And again, he's 33-1, which is in the top, what, six in the betting? Mm. Tied 6 in the betting, which is all these last five winners have been. So it's almost like the compilers have done the work for us, isn't it? They've seen who's playing well and who's, you know, who the standouts in this event. So I'm not going to veer from the top of the market. And 33-1 Kjeldsen, probably just a tad behind Richie Ramsey this week for me. Just because Ramsey's slightly better record in the Netherlands, but pretty confident in them both, to be honest.
I think we're going to get a good run from one of these three this week.
I'd be surprised if they're not knocking at the door. I mean, you can argue the case for about 8 or 10 at the front of the market, I think. Sometimes there's a few that just don't look right, but I mean, Donaldson's played well there before. Fitzpatrick, you would think this would be a good course for him, even though he's missed
the cut there. Donaldson's not played as well as I expected him to do this summer.
He's had a bad back, hasn't he? Pulled out of the PGA with a bad back. Andy Sullivan won a trip to space, didn't he?
He did. He doesn't want to go, though, does he?
He's scared of flying, isn't he? It's not ideal. I'm sure that got... By the end of that, it became like he's won a trip to the moon.
Yes.
Yeah, which is not the case.
Quite a different thing.
He's not the new Neil Armstrong, is he? Andy Sullivan going up in a rocket and...
He's got a choice, though. We must. That's he doesn't. He's not going to just be strapped into his rocket and sent off. He doesn't have to go, does he? If he doesn't want to, he's not going to be fired into space.
Sending a monkey into space.
He'll be fine if he doesn't want to go. He'll be able to give that trip away.
But it's worth. I read
maybe he can exchange it for two tickets to somewhere else.
It's worth $100,000 apparently.
Is it really?
Yeah. So it's better than a car.
Wow.
Wasn't just a sort of a
very nice.
Yeah.
That's that. $100,000. I didn't know it was worth that.
Yeah, but it obviously he was third as well. That was the moment everyone remembers, but he was actually third in that tournament. So he's another who could play well. He's had lots of good results this season.
What do you think of Keimer this week at 10-1?
Yeah, I think he'll be right up there.
Do you think
he's had a good summer, hasn't he? He's been a bit iffy for a lot of the year, but he's had a good summer, lots of solid.
Played well in his last two tournaments.
Won this event before, obviously at a different course, but I think a links test will suit.
And you've
Martin
already
Keimer.
Mentioned that the form does tend to correlate as well.
He was 12-1 when he won it in 2010. I'm sure didn't he win about four times that year? So that's probably a better price than the tens now. Yeah. But yeah, a Keimer top five would be no surprise. He might get done by somebody, but.
UK players have played well here in the past
record.
As well, haven't
Eddie
they?
Eddie Pepperell would be another one, given his form on the links courses. He's got a second in the Irish, doesn't he, and a fourth in the Scottish.
I just thought those three big up-and-coming young English players, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Tyrrell Hatton and Eddie Pepperell, were all around about the 28. Two of them 28-1, one of them Pepperell's 33-1 here with Hills. Thought they were round about the right price
for what they've achieved. Yeah, I think so.
I just don't see why there's such a discrepancy in the prices of Fitzpatrick and Hatton compared to Kiefer.
Yeah, they're all
28-1 as opposed to 40-1.
Yeah,
I mean that's a 12-point jump, and I'd say they're all of quite similar ilk at this. No one can predict what's going to happen in the future, but at this point in their careers, they're all at a similar level and standard right now, I think.
Yeah, and obviously Ramsey and Kjeldsen, the two I've gone for, they're proven winners.
Yeah.
So, I agree with that. I think the value has been squeezed out of them, and the bookies have sort of headed us off at the pass there, haven't they? I think lots of people want to back them.
I agree. I think Fitzpatrick and Hatton have definitely been found there at 28-1, respectively, in my opinion. Any others worthy of mention? There's one at a big price that I want to quickly touch upon, and it's Wai Yang at 80-1. He's probably not had the amount of success on mainland Europe that would justify him being a selection at 80-1. But I was so impressed with his first couple of rounds at Crawns when
halfway leader, wasn't he?
He played fantastically well for 36 holes before falling away. Played all four rounds at the USPGA Championship, which would have been a course that
he was up there for a while.
Yeah,
as
he
well.
Was.
And
he
there
was
a load of Americans on Twitter going, "Hey, this Yang fella's back." As if like he'd done nothing. Actually, done nothing since 2009 when he won the USPGA.
Yeah,
you know, it's a blast from the past. Why Yang? Come on, guys, he's been playing well in Europe for he's like 70th on the race to Dubai, something like that.
And he has been playing well, so I think he's going to be very interesting when we get to the point in the season where these European tour events head east. I'll be looking closely at Wai Yang. He might be due. Obviously I don't want to see him win this week at 80-1, because 80-1 I think is a fair price, but I'd just like to see him have a real shot in mainland Europe before I got stuck in.
I didn't look too far down, obviously, my idea that
that the winner comes from the top of the betting.
I suppose there's a couple, Craig Lee's obviously in decent form in recent times. I did hear a whisper as well about Chris Doak, but I don't even know who he might be
a whisper due. About Chris Doak, 150-1.
Saying he might be due.
Right.
I probably shouldn't have said that. Matt Cooper will now kill me. He'd been having a word with somebody, and the idea was Chris Doak could be a winner,
right?
Look out for him in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Oh, that's
maybe.
Interesting.
So a little,
okay.
At least I passed it on. I'm being open. So 150s. If he plays terribly this week, everyone will forget everything I've said. But if you, Matt Cooper did inform me. Follow Matt on Twitter that Doak could be one to watch. So that's a little interesting angle. Pelle Hedberg obviously played very well, didn't he, the other week? 100-1.
Yes.
A Swede playing in, you know, Northern Europe.
Yeah.
Might go well again. That's about it, really.
Yeah.
There's a few you could have a little mention, but I think I've covered all the ones I want to.
No, I agree. I have as well. So let's wrap up. Your two selections then, Mr. Tindall.
Yeah, I'll go a point each way. I'm trying not to do this in Dutch. I'll go 1 point and Uchi Ramzic at 33-1 and 1 point each way, Søren Kjeldsen at 33-1. I'll put the same stake on.
I'm going a point each way, Richie Ramsey at 33-1, half a point each way, Maximilian Kiefer at 40-1. Who's the player that came closest then you wouldn't want to see win this week? Because these have such a good strike rate on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, don't listen to anything we've said. Yeah. Listen to this bit now.
This does have a ridiculous strike rate, this particular segment.
I was pretty close to putting up Eddie Pepperell, I think.
Wai Yang would have to be mine at 80-1. He was probably next off the list. Remember, you can follow myself and Mr. Tindall on Twitter, and of course Mike, who will be back next week for the third FedEx Cup Series event. It's at D Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf. And remember, you can check us out on iTunes as well. Just type in William Hill. This podcast available on audioboom.com as well by typing in William Hill. Myself, Dave and Mike back next week for the third event in the FedEx. Until then, we'll speak soon. Get your bets on here with William Hill for the KLM Open, which starts on Thursday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.